Welcome back to Overdunk, everybody. My name is Zoinks, and this is, of course, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I am joined here, as per usual, by our brand new co-host, Bridget, and today, joining us, special guest, Chris Heroes has acclaimed him to be the best Dodrio player in the entire world, despite refusing to play Tri-Attack, the absolute queen of memes, Unite, and everything else in between. Psyche, thank you so much for joining the podcast. I think you've guessed it before, but thank you for being on today.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Look it up, but like, yeah. For sure.
Okay, yeah, no, I agree, actually.
Okay, right. Yeah, I would be absolutely shocked if you did it. That's good. Okay, well, awesome. Welcome back to the show, let's answer this definitively. Have you been on an Overdunk podcast episode before?
I have one time.
Yes, you did. That is right. When Ven led it, though, right? That was when that was for the women in Unite. Okay, awesome. So not one. I was there, but I wasn't a host on that episode. Cool. So I have an out. awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining the show. But we got to catch up with everybody here. Yo, Bridget, how's your week been? How have your games in Unite been? How's this new patch treating you?
So far, so good. I love my supports, and I already have a green badge on Wiggly. I've already loved her, so Sing obviously feels good. I'm shocked at how good Dazzling Gleam feels, if I'm being for real. Yeah. I'm like surprised every time.
Not just a Reggie secure option anymore.
I can farm kind of effectively, so
I like it.
Pretty nice.
nice. And then Psyche, I mean, it's been a minute since you've been on the show, but how have you been? How's the Unite stretch? You've been playing a ton of other games too, and then you're a Lethal Company and Fortnite extraordinaire. How have you been?
Okay, Lethal Company is against my will.
Okay,
I will never play a horror game on purpose. Fortnite, banger. I have been playing a lot more Unite though recently. I just got my sticker, so that's exciting.
Cool.
Everything after my sticker has been a blur, but I have been playing a lot of Leafeon and Bulbasaur because of our tournament.
Yeah,
so I'm happy.
So the blade, Solar Beam, really covering all your bases there. Unless, are you a Razor Leaf enjoyer when it comes to Leafeon?
So I loved Razor Leaf when it was really strong, and when they nerfed it, I just stopped playing Leafeon.
Okay.
And now I've decided that I really like Solar Blade.
I got you. Okay, and then we gotta ask. I've heard you say some choice words about Dodrio and about you personally. Care to comment on the allegations?
Listen. I don't mind a Dodrio nerf.
Okay.
If you stop nerfing full heal.
I see. Yes. Okay. That
is the hill that I've decided to die on. I don't know a ton about stats, but I know a lot about Dodrio, and I know a lot about full heal, and that is the hill I'm dying on.
Okay. those are pretty good hills. I think that's fair. Bridget, do you think that's fair in front of all of our podcast listeners and viewers? Do you agree with Psyche? Do you think this is
fair? You know, I want to, for her sake,
okay.
For sure.
Yeah, the pity agree.
As someone who's been victimized by a Dodrio that gets really far ahead really fast.
Like Psyche's.
I'm kind of okay.
Oh, no.
What has occurred?
Are they going to fight on street? It's crazy. Okay, yeah.
I thought women were supposed to support women. I'm fine.
Thought so
too. I'm fine.
I thought so too. I'm with you, so like, anyway. awesome. Well, podcast listeners, if you're listening to this in the future and you're wondering what the heck is going on, of course, there was a patch just recently, I think like early this morning, North American time. So, Tuesday afternoon, Japanese time. Late night, Monday, that kind of thing for North America. It changed a whole bunch of stuff. Quite a few Pokemon adjusted. Some big buffs, some big nerfs. Some needed, some not needed. We'll talk about all of that. But of course, our first topic cannot be the most recent patch. We had to intro with it, of course. It's out in front of everybody's mind. But the burning question, the reason that people are tuning into a competitive Pokemon Unite podcast is for those tournament results. And the three of us were on a semi-pro team called Nexus Please Join. The three of us, and then joined by Numb Nexus, incredible YouTuber, PokeTuber, Unite streamer, everything in between. And then Big Uzi himself was playing jungle for us in this tournament. And, well, we went on a heck of a run.
Yeah,
it
you
was
could
a
say
heck
that.
Of a run.
Yeah, we could say
you
that.
Could
We
say
could
that.
Say that. Yeah, we
yeah,
could say that.
Yeah, you All did right. even.
Okay, so let's set the stage here. It's as usually how I set up tournaments if I want to play in them. It's a solid maybe 24 hours before the event happens. I start trying to get people on my team. That's usually what goes down. And you two answered the call. I think, Bridget, you were my first one to call and ask us to join the team. Of course, you said yes. The rest of history. Psyche, you were a late add, but mostly because you were both doing the same job, and I felt bad for stealing you both from Battle Hub, but I'm really glad you did. And our first game was on stream against Winrak Luzray. It was a lot of fun. It was a full game three set, and things got a little mixy in this one. Is this the match that Nexus picked Machamp by accident in draft?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's also the match in the same match you picked Foul Play.
Foul Play Umbreon. Yes. Okay.
So,
okay. Yeah.
We
that is
were
very
really
true.
Cooking. I don't even think the casters noticed that you picked Foul Play.
No. No one watches Umbreon gameplay. Why would you? I mean, it's the most boring Pokemon there to watch. So.
So you
sense.
Got away with that kind
yeah.
of for free.
Which is kind of crazy because I think we like needed Wish in that game, so I went Foul Play Wish, which is just like a tragic moveset. It was like Snarl's doing nothing against this comp, so I guess I'll go Wish. But
I
Psyche...
watched our team. Oh, I was gonna say
no. Go
I
ahead.
Watched our team fight. I watched our team fight back, and there you catch the Buzzwole out, and I was like, "Why didn't Zoinks mean look?" And I was like, "Oh, I remember." I was like, "We actually win that team fight, I think." If we didn't mean look, no, but. It was fine.
You're VOD reviewing. You're like, this Zoinks guy's worse than I thought. What's he? Oh, no.
I was just like, whoa, how did we catch him? And I'm like,
listen,
oh, yeah.
Sick. If there was a game for you to accidentally choose the wrong moveset, it would be the game that we accidentally have Machamp as well.
Yeah.
We messed up at the right time.
I don't know if I've ever heard more panic in Bridget's voice in the draft screen when Nexus is hovering Tyranitar and not moving to select their phone. Pokemon when
you
Bridget
have no
is like
idea.
Nexus!
I have fucked up that so many times. So
it's
many
so
times.
Bad.
It sucks. There was yeah. one time where, yeah, one of my teammates, Palmer, of course, we were hovering the same Pokemon. He was hovering the support. I'm like, let me pick the support. Anyway, we messed it up. We got Azu.
Yeah,
okay. It was fine.
It's fine. No stress. Yeah, we made it work. But Psyche, you, of course, were playing attacker for us that whole tournament. And, oops, let's read that. You were playing a lot of the Venusaur, much to a lot of our requests. It fit well with a lot of the team comps we wanted to play, but pretty sure it was like your first time really grinding out Venu. Is that right?
So I have played like Giga Drain Petal Dance. I have never played Beamasaur, and I was fully convinced that I was gonna miss every beam.
Okay.
That didn't happen though. I mean, not gonna lie, the results speak for themselves, but we won one game. Thought I played Bibu, so. Yeah.
That is true. It was sick. So in terms of our tournament run, it began with a pretty good good win streak that we had right at the start of the tournament. It was really good. We were 1-0. It was a full best of three round. Our final game of the actually, I think our first game was the most exciting. Like Bridget,
yeah,
I think Bridget, Psyche, and I were talking about this off camera. We got to say for the podcast, we won this game. Uzi, of course, we all decided we were playing this tournament for fun. We said, Uzi, you have to play your Greninja. He insta-locks it, game number one, and we dominate the final team fight. Like, it wasn't particularly close. We all pressed our buttons. They didn't have a chance to press theirs, and we like absolutely demolished that final fight. And I think we all had like a collective moment where we went, oh, we can win the game. And that was a very strange feeling for all of us when we started that round specifically.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us knew what to expect, but
no, certainly not.
Yeah,
that.
No kidding. I just remember a very specific beam. The
okay.
rest of it is a blur.
Yeah, please tell me the highlight of your tournament run, Psyche. What was the moment for you?
Oh, 100% choosing Dodrio.
Yes.
With
yeah,
my
it was so sick.
That was awesome.
Oh,
it
my
was,
gosh.
And it was hilarious because the other team had already locked in both Umbreon and Clefable, which we know are like insane Dodrio counters. And yeah. So I think I don't know if we all talked about this, but Bridget and I definitely did. So I was listening the cast as well. And all of the casters, as soon as I picked Dodrio, were like, oh, she's gonna go Dodrio.
Into Clefable and Umbreon. Some would say the natural predators in the wild.
Literally.
Of a Dodrio, yeah.
And like Spraggles and Gatlu both play a lot of Dodrio, and they were both kind of like, I wouldn't do that personally. And then it was like, I think it was Kello who was kind of trying to reason with the idea, like, oh, maybe she's gonna invade, or maybe they're gonna split the jungle. And then it was like, for both casts, it was a very sobering moment of, that's their bottom lane attacker. So
hey, shout out to Kello for expecting us to maybe strategize enough for a split jungle strategy. Really a lot of credit given to our squad.
Yeah, just go back to Zoinks's VOD to see what the actual
were. Yeah, wait, just play Dodrio. Just do it.
You're like, I think it's time to Dodrio. I was like, okay.
The time has come. The time is now. It was so much fun.
And it won us the game.
Crazy things out there. This is obviously a subject that so many people are talking about and discussing, is caster privilege, or maybe detriment in tournaments, and the fact that every tournament I enter, I'm always casted first game. It's ridiculous. It keeps on happening. I don't want to make a big hashtag about it on Twitter or anything, but maybe we should. And it's definitely, we had a lot of eyes on us that first game. I think there was like 3 or 4 different observers in the admin slot for our first tournament game. It was
we had like 5 people in there, and they were like, wait, someone didn't join. And I'm like, how?
Yeah.
Like, it's full. Like, yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah, we're really showcasing that you actually can have more than 5 admins in a lobby. It's actually wild. But yeah. Yeah, it was a really fun tournament. Unfortunately, after that, we lost our next couple of games that we were in, our best of 3 winners match, and then our best of 1 losers match. The best of 3 winners match probably could have swung either way, but I'd say for the most part, we got beat. Pretty good, but it was I had a ton of fun. I don't get to play in a lot of tournaments, obviously, nor should I because of my ability, but I have a lot of fun when I get the chance. So thank you to the two of you for joining into a washed caster for an event, because it was a blast. I had so much fun with it.
Of course. Yeah. Anytime.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to bring the crew up. I think, Psyche and I think I've entered like 3 tournaments now, and you've been on my team 2 times. So clearly we got synergy in the bot lane. It was looking good. It's looking good.
Oh, 100%. We're getting there. And I honestly believe that if you have a group of friends and there's a free tournament to enter, just do it. Why not?
Absolutely.
What's on the line? You know?
That's actually something I want to talk about. I'm really great transition, Psyche. You're killing this podcast thing. Well done. is just some like greater Unity Clash talk. So January, we've talked about this a lot at the start of the month. It has been an absolutely stacked tournament schedule-wise for this month. Every single weekend has multiple bigger tournaments. I just got word today that Battle Hub is going to be running January events as well, so now even more tournaments are going to be filling up the weekends. There's the LG tournament next week, there's Unity Clash this previous one, the Unite Mics tournament's the weekend after, and then of course the weekend after that is the first UCS Open qualifier. So obviously insanely packed over these next few weeks. But Unity Clash, despite all of that, just like an oversaturation of tournaments, actually met capacity. 64 teams were playing in that tournament. So Psyche, to your credit, talking about just join up. Why? What's stopping you from playing in some of these Unite events? Well, Unity Clash definitely paid off there. I don't think I've seen a tournament hit capacity Unite the entire offseason. So Underdunk did a couple of times, but they have half the capacity. They cut to 32. So very, very exciting to see Unity Clash hitting 64. It was open worldwide, so any region could technically participate. But still, even after like dropouts, like last minute not signing up or not confirming registration, we still hit 64, which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. It was cool to see like a global tourney. I feel like there must have been some before, but I can't think of the last time it was not region locked.
Yeah.
And obviously that does cause some issues with ping and whatever, mm-hmm. but it was just cool to see so many different play styles. And I think even it was obviously hosted by Gatlu, an EU streamer mm-hmm. and player, so a lot of EU presence, but I felt like even some of the teams in the finals were like LATAM teams. Yeah. It was kind of all over the place in terms of like who was coming out on top, which was cool to see.
Yeah, Public Enemies is Peru. So they're a Peruvian team, which I believe is LATAM South, technically.
Okay.
The Peru gamers are always always going for every tournament they can enter, whether they're allowed to or not. Those gamers are trying to play in events. They are notorious for it, but it's cool to see them backing it up with some results as well. Because yes, ping might be atrocious, but they definitely have proved to be some gamers. So obviously, huge shout out to Gatlu for hosting this event. Absolute slam dunk of a success. I see them hanging out in chat, so thank you very much, Gatlu. Also, Sprankles, first, I'm so sorry for that trio queue game. I take full responsibility. It will never happen again. Two LATAM in day one. Two LATAM day one. I don't know exactly what you referred to. I thought you were saying the worlds, but anyway, yeah, Sprankles gave me the ha 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 no problem. So obviously he knows it was my fault. So I'm glad we can all acknowledge that together. Gosh, Metagross is fun, but I absolutely duffed it. Anyway, all that to say, what I wanted to talk about a little bit in Unity Clash is the metagame. Because there is a patch that just happened. Unfortunate ACL players have, like, what is it, less than 3 days to practice on this new patch before their qualifiers for the LAN event. Kind of crazy, but, I mean, they'll do their best. But this event was really cool. I felt like it was like kind of the final capstone of off-season Unite meta. And that being, like, Buzzwole, Blastoise was what everyone expected to absolutely dominate. It was kind of Lapras' last hurrah, if you kind of want to call it that in some ways, because of this most recent nerf. There were some big moments, but I want to ask you two first, were there any Pokemon or team comps that really surprised you? It's like, oh wow, this is like a major contender now, all of a sudden, that like I maybe didn't have on my radar. Anything like that?
I think for me, the top lane kind of being the target bans made a lot of sense to me. Buzzwole's yeah. just such a problem.
Yeah.
It's awful. I feel like we banned Blastoise a lot, but mm-hmm. I'm sure that also would have been a problem as well. Something that surprised me though, in that I've never been able to decide if it's good or bad, is Clefable. Obviously it's good, right? Mm-hmm. Like it has a ton of healing, gravity stops so much, but it's kind of hard to, at least I feel, execute and at a high level.
Yeah.
And so I was interested that I feel like I saw a lot of Clefable this tournament, and I think it did fairly well. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious to see how it develops more into like official tourneys and how it kind of stacks up against the Blissey's and the Eldegoss and the Hoopas. So
yeah,
I was surprised by how much Clefable I saw.
Yeah, that's really fair. How about you, Psyche? Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on Clefable or otherwise, a Pokemon that showed up?
I'm with Bridget on Clefable. I've heard so many different things about mm-hmm. Clefable's viability that I can't think for myself on that one because I don't know. Sure. But as far as being surprised, I'm honestly kind of shocked that Mimikyu didn't have as commanding of a presence.
Mimikyu, okay, yeah.
I was pretty weary of, like, Buzzwole, of course, when we did Zacian, like, we thought so much about Blastoise, I didn't even really think about Mimikyu. But when we did face Mimikyu, I don't remember it being that big of an issue. Granted, yeah. It's all blurred to me, because I'm still convinced we won, like, the entire thing. But wasn't so, yes. Like, when I face Mimikyu in solo queue, I'm like, oh, crap, like, I'm gonna you know, get my shirt rocked a little bit. But as far as in the tournament, yeah, it just didn't do it for me as much.
Okay, so Mimikyu underperforming, Clefable also underperforming. So if for listeners, unfortunately, I'm sorry, but yeah, for people watching the live stream, I do have a visual created by, of course, the GOAT of competitive stats in terms of making them into these awesome formats. Poker, they've been doing it for multiple years now, so go check them out at Poker. It's P0 Poker on Twitter. Go find him. Anyway, then we have the stats of the top 10 Pokemon most played in Unity Clash. This is in day two. So this is when the tournament cut to top 16 and then played again with kind of all the top teams having a second run at it. There's a few numbers on here that surprised me a lot. I think one of the biggest standouts is Buzzwole and Clefable. Buzzwole picked 27 times, aka 60% of the games, and only had a 29% win rate. 29.6. A absolutely atrocious win rate on Buzzwole. And Clefable picked 53% of games with a 37.5% win rate. So extremely, extremely low numbers from the Pokemon there. And then I saw in chat talking about it a little bit, and I know Spraggles talked about this quite a bit when they were doing their breakdown. Leafeon on an absolute tear in the Unity Clash tournament, 63.6% win rate, and being picked 73% of games. Obviously, people wised up to how good Leafeon was in day one, and very much committed to the picks in day two, because that is a very, very high pick rate for a Pokemon that, I'll say in NA, doesn't see very much play, but LATAM loves this Pokemon. So I think that sort of colors in the context a little bit, but yeah, pretty surprising numbers. Any numbers on this graphic? I know it's not super easy to see for the two of you. I'm sorry, but any other like surprising numbers off of this graphic between these two?
I was just gonna say I think it's hilarious that I think one of the things that we experienced was Uzi's absolute disdain for Inteleon.
Uh-huh.
But there you go with the 30 picks, like the 53% win rate. I think we. Granted, I love what we did, but we probably could have used the Inteleon if we really wanted to, despite how much he did not want us to.
He did not want the Inteleon. I do think he's somewhat correct that Vidu plays good into Inteleon, but yes, he did not want us playing that. Now, a reminder, Nouns Esports made it all the way to Grand Finals via Winterside, so obviously they had the most games, and Toonslim was almost permanently on Inteleon every single game. So there is definitely a Nouns inflation effect on this Inteleon pick, I will say, but they cannot be responsible for 30 selections the entire
round.
That
is definitely for them, true, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely... It's like he's like, listen, I got some VOD review to do. But yeah, Gatlin also saying in our chat that Brazil loving the Leafeon as well. So yeah, I think Leafeon is incredible. I do think it probably struggles into Blastoise. I think that's why you're seeing Blastoise picked a little bit more. Blastoise is just one of those Pokemon that is so incredibly strong and also doesn't take that much expertise to pull off. I mean, the popular build is Surf Hydro Pump, for crying out loud. Like, you just find their carry and you hit them with every move and then they're gone for 30 minutes. Like, I don't think it takes all that much to really pull off the Blastoise. So definitely not shocked to see how powerful that Pokemon was. Another one that I'm always shocked by, and I kind of have to mention it because Dupesnax is not on the podcast, is the shockingly low rate of Hoopa. Hoopa did get to 21 selections, but that only makes it, I mean, that makes it the third most selected support, I suppose. But, oh, guess no, just second. I guess I'm considering the pink blob of Slowbro support. But second most selected support, but the fact that it is that varied, that you could have that many different options, I don't know, it's pretty shocking to me. But still, Hoopa having a much better win rate than Clefable, having a above 50% or 57% win rate on the day. I don't know. I feel like people just kind of look for other options when they look for more creative compositions. They're like, well, Clefable really makes this composition work, or Clefable really counters this comp, or Clefable enables this selection. When Hoopa's kind of just one of those catch-all good options in most comps. So I would be surprised if this number stays this low going forward in the rest of the months in this, rest of the tournaments in this month before UCS, but we'll have to see. So that's going to be my next question to the two of you. Is there any selections of Pokemon that you think are kind of being, well, it's tough though, the past just happened, but otherwise, do you think there's a Pokemon that's maybe being slept on a little bit that you are going to expect to see a lot of in tournaments upcoming this month?
I would say the obvious winners, I feel, from the patch are Metagross, for sure, Wigglytuff, and Sylveon. I haven't seen much Zera. I'm sorry, Cinderace players, I don't think. you've come out of the trenches.
Ember's both?
I'm curious to see how Wiggly stacks up in priority against the other tanks, because really, aside from Umbreon and Slowbro, I mean, I'm specifically talking about Lapras. Lapras has fallen from glory quite a bit. So I'm wondering if we'll see kind of, yeah, Wiggly, Umbreon, Slowbro running metas, but I'm not sure if the Sing disruption is worth it. It felt pretty good when I was playing it. It felt pretty good. Being able to shred, like, bulky Pokemon, like Goodra, all these top, like, even Blastoise has been used as a top laner recently. Like, everything just feels like it has so much HP, so being able to have another counter to that that feels viable is pretty cool.
Yeah, agreed. Psyche, how about you? Any Pokemon big on the come up that you're expecting to see from competitive teams?
Well, I'm with you that I'm shocked that Hoopa had such a low pick rate, because I personally consider Hoopa such an essential when it comes to competitive play. But, you know, Metagross, gosh, I'm just facing it recently. I'm a little bit taken aback. It's a little strong.
It smacks. It's a heavy hitter.
Yeah, it hurts and it doesn't die. It's anyways. But Galu said Blaziken. It's so sad. And I actually 100% think that somebody needs to just take their sweet time with Blaziken and then like show up in full force with it, because I think that could be such a cool mon to utilize when utilized correctly. I just don't know that anyone's taken the time to do it yet. I granted there's probably better options, but I just want to see a really good Blaziken. I just want to see that.
I wish we had played Blaziken in our tourney.
Yeah. A public apology from our team to Nexus. We talked about this when we started talking about our tournament run, is how this metagame, especially our draft strategies, were very developed around getting a good top laner or denying good top laners. And we just forced Nexus onto whatever pick that we thought was top tier at the time, Zacian or Buzzwole, things like that. And we did not allow him to cook with Blaziken. So that is unfortunate. We definitely need to see some more of the Nexus Blaziken, because in ranked when he was pulling it out, it was sick.
When I think of a Blaziken player, it's definitely him. Like, he like pentas on it. It's crazy. Like, post nerf. I think it is like viable. I'm just not sure, like, early game if it's worth in the top path.
Early game, it struggles, and I also feel like its best trait is how it can 1v1. Like, it can basically take down any opponent, and even if it loses, it has the mobility tools to escape, right? But I feel like in today's metagame, at a competitive level, you are never creating 1v1 situations in any kind of team fight. And it feels like it has sort of old Buzzwole problem, where it's amazing for like a solid 8 minutes, and then when it happens in the team fight, you're just like, okay. You're just sort of swimming around the battlefield. It's like, well, nothing's getting KO'd, and I'm pressing a lot of buttons, but just like my splash damage to an entire group of enemies is certainly not as much. But yeah, Relic mentioning in our chat as well that Overheat is a great secure tool. It's strong. I mean, it's a lot of burst damage. You are unstoppable, but it's probably the most predictable secure in the entire game. I mean, Blaziken starts charging up Overheat, just no one click their buttons. You just wait. Then it does the thing, and then you shred the objective. Like, I don't know. It's an interesting spot. I do think that there is I feel like it's more of a metagame problem than a individual balance problem, in my opinion. But definitely there are smarter folks on the Blaziken out there than me. So maybe, Psyche, you're right. Maybe it's just going to take a very, very talented player to untap that potential, which would be sick. I really like when we get to see that kind of stuff. So that would be... that would be awesome. Yes, Spraggle saying not having Unite move is its problem. That's a strong one. That's a strong problem. It's great to have a Unite move. but I feel like we're already talking so much about the patch. We should talk about that in a moment. But I do want to talk about this right before we transition to that subject. We talked about how in our draft strategies, everything was all top lane focus. And I think when even watching the top 16 event back, that was also the case. It was a lot of draft priority around top path. Do we think that stays the same in this next patch? Or is another role rising to the top in draft priority? Or is it still all about the top laners? Psyche?
I think if no Zacian also got pretty gutted. No more crits early level.
Let's go.
yippee.
Yeah, I frolic through a field. I am so happy. Yes.
So that kind of eliminates basically, I feel like, kind of the mandatory ban out of like the team two. I don't know. It might still be the Blastoise Buzzwall bans, but it might become a little more team dependent. Oh yeah, and Metagross too. Yeah, yeah, I think it will still be kind of a top lane runs the game, runs the ban, but I could definitely be wrong.
Do you think Metagross is going to be like competitively a powerhouse? I don't know. I feel like I think top level players just know not to get hit by Gyro Ball. You know, I don't know. I guess we'll see. Maybe it's a good ability, but we'll, I don't know. It's very, very strong. I won't argue that. I just don't know how high on the priority tier list we're going to end up putting it. Just because of its,
yeah,
its early game is not bad by any means. Like, you get Gyro Ball at 5, your Iron Defense secure randomly is really good. So it's got options for sure. But Psyche, how about you? Do you think drafts are going to be mostly focused around that? I would say, even some people have mentioned in our chat as well, Kratos, saying that Hoopa was actually banned quite a bit in day two, maybe lowering its play rate overall. So, I mean, supports are seeing some ban priority as well. So, support, defender, are we heading into the attacker ban meta? Probably not, but
yeah. I think Metagross is, you know, unique that it's a three stage top laner versus like Buzzwole, Zacian with the you know, no Evo. So I think that does, I think it's too soon to tell with Metagross personally, because I don't know how that will factor in. Mm-hmm. And we've always seen like the tanks and supports get prio picked. So that is like, it's an interesting perspective, especially considering like Zacian getting gutted. I don't know, because that Metagross just experiencing it for the first time post patch since, you know, in solo queue and trio queue and whatever. Good lord.
Like, it was
okay. I tilted. I caught Blake personally.
But, you know, I'm not one game in, we out. Either,
so who's to say?
All right, fair enough. Okay, well, we've talked so much about this fabled patch, so we may as well pivot to that discussion. I'm going to pull up the patch notes via UniteDB on the screen so people could take a look at it. And first listed here is Lapras. So Lapras, the recipient of a nerf this time around. First, before we even get into it, Bridget, warranted or not?
Yeah, kick it while it's down. I don't know. I know it feels like it's almost getting the Serena treatment where it was like so dominant at Worlds. They're like, all right, you had your time in the sun.
If your world champion just says the reason they won the tournament is Lapras, I guess I guess that's an option, right?
You gotta so it's all Flash's fault. You guys can DM him and let him know.
Okay,
just getting to
right now.
I still felt like Lapras was strong after it. Pre this nerf, like there were still some Laprases I saw that I was like, wow, I'm still getting smacked by this guy right now. After this, I don't really know. I know it's obviously not a tank, it should maybe not do that much damage, so I don't want to say I'm not mad, because then all the Lapras players are going to be mad at me, but I'm interested to see if it's even, I hope it still has a chance as being more of a true tank.
So you're saying people are overreacting to the Lapras changes. I think that's what you said. Yeah, you have that on file.
Neutral.
Okay, now for listeners of the podcast who aren't looking at these notes, I just want to say Ice Beam has been nerfed, specifically the Frozen Ground, like secondary hit of the move, has been damage nerfed. Water Pulse has also been damage nerfed by both these by scaling. Lapras, iconically, a Pokemon with incredible special attack scaling. And then the Unite move has also been reduced, or I guess increased, in terms of cooldown. So it's going to take longer to charge up your Unite move. Lapras, notorious for an absolute like blitzkrieg speed of Unite move. It, criminal how quickly that Pokemon was going to get changed. My quick opinion on it before we get Psyche to jump in here is I honestly think that was the most needed change. I think Lapras Unite definitely needed a cooldown increase. That makes a ton of sense to me. Now you feel a little bit worse about just spamming it in a fight. Like, you're not even thinking about where you're going. Sometimes with a Lapras, you just want to click that button for the quick shield to knock up. Like, you're not even worried about if you hit anybody. You're just like, ah, keep going, and then I fight. That sucks. That's a terrible design for a Unite move if that's how it's going to be utilized. You got to think about your Unite move. So I'm happy that's being changed. Ice Beam nerf and Water Pulse nerf. Meh. I don't know. It probably didn't need it. I don't really care all that much, though. Psyche, thoughts on Lapras?
Of all the defenders, maybe it wasn't the most necessary in comparison. But I feel like it might be more of a defender now versus, like,
sure.
You know, we have the defenders that are true defenders and the defenders that take on some type of all-rounder role.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't play a ton of Lapras, and I don't think I even face a ton of Lapras, honestly. So, you know, this is from a very outside perspective, but I think it might be like a real defender now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Bubble Beam Enjoyers rise up. That move is untouched. Let's go.
True.
Bubble Beam Enjoyers. Myself included. I actually really like Bubble Beam. Anyway.
Me too.
Zacian. Oh, the neutering. Unite DB. Okay.
Chill,
DB. Oh, my word. Okay. Zacian has a long list if we're going to look at it this way. But basically, all of their stats have been reduced mostly to the, I believe it's to the bottom end, more so. So Zacian takes a little bit longer to scale up to its damage potential. I think the top end has barely been touched. Yeah, 560 to 530. Not a huge change, but 190 to 160. I guess it's the exact same. Stats across the board for its attack stat have been adjusted, as well as its critical hit. Now, this is the big change. This is what I would always used to talk about on casts anytime a Zacian was on the screen, is that this Pokemon hits its power spike as it leaves home base. Like, at level 2, it was able to get a 5% crit chance. You put Scope and Razor on this thing, you're immediately critting on these boosted autos. The boosted auto is just insane. So yes, all that scene changes is great. So crit chance down, boosted auto attack damage down, and a few other moves as well. Notably, you now only have the first chance to critically hit at level 5, and it has been reduced from 15% to 5, which is such a breath of fresh air. The other changes, the attack and boosted auto attack now have a less effect of slowing, and also Metal Claw got a buff, so cool. Cool with the Metal Claw enjoys. I think you still play Sacred Sword, but either way, oh gosh, Bridget, talk about this one because we need Psyche to talk about the next one. So Bridget, can you talk about this Zacian nerf overall?
I'm sorry, Zacian enjoyers, but
yeah.
I don't know many people who are mad about this.
Talk down. Yeah.
That was definitely considered very strong this last patch.
Yeah, too
when
strong.
When I've been playing this past week, every time I saw a Mewtwo or Zacian, I was like, God, I can't wait to not see you anymore in the next season, because I'm over it. I can't believe it used to be stronger. I'm over it. So I don't think many people are mad about this.
No.
Kind of, it's kind of crazy how long it's taken.
Yeah.
Like, Zacian to fall, but wow.
That is one of those interesting topics on this change, right? Because we are, what, a week away? Less than a week away from the next rank season, which by all and large is supposed to be no EX Pokemon in ranked. So it is a surprising time to see a pretty drastic Zacian nerf when it won't even be in their main competitive mode. So it's very interesting. Like, other MOBAs will take champions, or in this case would be Pokemon, outside of the competitive play pool for a certain amount of time, normally indicating some kind of rework or big change. So they're like, well, while we're adjusting this, we'll remove it from play so that when you do get another chance to play it, it'll be something brand new, like a breath of fresh air. Unite's roster probably a little too small to really warrant something like that, but I don't think their development style or communication style would ever do that. But at the very least, it is interesting to not see something like that, because that's almost what feels like is happening here. But it's, I don't know, just out of strange timing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I found it strange. I don't know if I'm if everybody else is with me on that, but
yeah, for sure. Like, oh, you're last week in ranked and we're gonna make you suck.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. It's odd. I do think the timing is odd, but they did say, kind of to your point, Zoinks, that they have the potential to change. Like, maybe EX licenses are going to be allowed.
Yeah. Oh, I'd be pretty shocked if the EX licenses were permanently banned from rank. I don't think that's going to be happening. I mean, we're going to get more EX licensed Pokemon in the future, and to not have your brand new release in your main game mode that your players play is you're setting money on fire, and I don't think Timmy Studios is interested in that.
Yeah, they're not in the business of that.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. Well, they could just charge a $60 skin. Anyway, we'll move on. Flaky, your favorite Dodrio, three-headed bird, has been buffed. Oh, nope, nerfed, unfortunately. Drill Peck and the Unite move, Triple Trample, both receiving nerfs. Not a huge one, but sizable, some would say. Have you tried Dodrio post-nerf yet?
I have not. So okay. I am dog sitting for my parents right now. Their Wi-Fi is horrible. Playing Dodrio on lag is impossible.
Okay. Yeah. True.
But I have not tried it.
Okay. Okay. Well, then emotions just on seeing the numbers here.
Yeah. So here's my thing. And I mentioned this at the beginning. This is the hill I'm going to die on. I'm not opposed to a attack decrease,
mm-hmm.
but with so much CC in the game, like pretty much every single mon has CC. I can't, like, granted there's probably one or two that don't, but I, off the top of my head, I can think of CC. And since playing Dodrio, I've been more aware of it since playing Dodrio, because you get caught by everything,
right?
So decrease its attack, fine, I can get behind that, because it is a very, very strong move. Specifically Drill Peck. But, like, stop nerfing Full Heal. Like, okay, fine. But if all of our moves are dependent on your sprint gauge, maybe give us a little more ability to move in the game. Okay. Yeah, that's... It's fine. Okay. I'm fine.
If this change, if next patch we get a Full Heal buff, all is forgiven? Dodrio's back on the menu kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll like
take that. It just blows my mind every time they do nerf Full Heal, because it's happened what, twice now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you guys sure? Do we have to? We do have CC too. Like, don't forget that you guys added slows and stops and whatever to most moves. You know, like,
right.
I mean, don't forget that part. So.
Yeah. You can't. You can't. Okay, Cinderace, Ember got buffed, and neat. All right, we'll move on. this is, I honestly just think it's too small of a change, but if you were a Cinderace enjoyer, your early game got marginally better, but not huge, and Faint has a speed boost now. Well, it did, always did, but has a greater speed boost. I don't think that was the problem with Faint, but it happened, so maybe now it's worth picking that over Flame Charge. Honestly, couldn't tell you. I don't really think it's worth discussing too much, especially because we're already at like 40 minutes into the episode. So let's talk about, does anyone want to talk about Zeraora? Any big Zeraora enjoyers amongst the three of us? No?
How did they buff Wild Charge?
Yeah, so Wild Charge got buffed, and not a small amount either. 141% of attack to 164% of attack. That's a 20%, greater than 20% amount of scaling damage increase. Wild Charge is going to hurt a lot more. That's, of course, with the initial hit, like, following hits did not get buffed, but it's going to be a little bit less damage. But either way, ridiculous. This Pokemon has always been on the edge of good. Zeraora will and probably will always be a solo queue demon. And I think this change is going to continue that fact. Zeraora around, probably not competitively, but solo queue, I fear it. I fear it.
Yeah.
Sylveon, this Pokemon got the absolute treatment. I'm not gonna lie. Sylveon, when we were playing in ranked earlier tonight, this Pokemon was having a wild impact. Bridget, you were unfortunately at the business end of a Sylveon a few more times than we would like to admit. So how are you feeling about this Pokemon and its changes?
You know, the hyper voice Sylveon, as I played my little Wigglytuff, definitely understood what their job was, mm-hmm. which was to shred me for all I'm worth. it's a tank shredder for sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously you can go Mystical Fire, which is more for the speedy boys, going up against speedsters to kind of mm-hmm. catch them and hunt them down and slow them. But
yeah.
I think I will never forget. I don't even remember what tourney it was. It was definitely like the first season of UCS. I don't remember who did it. Someone busted out bot lane hyper voice Sylveon, and it was just so nasty in that tri lane. They mm-hmm. just like had their two tanks in front of them, and Sylveon just like popped out with his little hyper voice and just secured everything.
Uh-huh.
Obviously the meta's changed a lot. There's a lot more probably threatening, more ranged attackers, but man, if you're going against a defense HP heavy comp, Hyper Voice Sylvie, it hurt. It's so gonna good. Yeah, it feels very, very good now. And thank God. Mm-hmm. I hope it's no longer the longest Unite move in the game for no reason. So yeah.
And that's the thing, right? It feels like this Pokemon was one of the front of the line in terms of deserving a buff, which I think this patch did better than their nerfs. I think the nerfs that they did were fine. Mm-hmm. They probably could have done more, but I do think the buffs they found in this patch were really, really solid. So the upswing side of this patch, really great. Downside, probably could have used more, but we'll talk more about that near the end of it. The last thing I wanted to mention on Sylveon is what Unite DB actually said here. So the higher special attack also gets compounded by Pixelate. This is Sylveon's passive ability that basically means they get healing based on special attack damage that they're doing. So any raw damage you are increasing to Sylveon moves is also increasing its spell vamp, which is healing it more often. So now it is a much more viable lane threat because it can survive and it can fight longer. And anyone who has fought with Sylveon knows you do not want to fight that Pokemon longer because they will do tons of damage out of nowhere. But yeah, there we go. But here we go, Psyche, Gardevoir, another one of your favorites, receiving a positive treatment in teleport buff. How you feeling?
Love. Big fan.
Okay. More excitement than I actually anticipated. But yeah, so teleport gets buffed, a 2-second cooldown reduction, and the Unite move has also been buffed in terms of needing a lot less time, 112 seconds to 89 seconds. That is a sizable amount. You usually can get an extra Unite move off. You can Unite, I think, where people were saying at 3 minutes now, and still have it back for final fight, which is really, really cool. So, Psyche, how are you feeling about Gardevoir? Is Gardevoir on the come up? Are we going to see a lot more Guardy jungle these days?
Here's the thing. I love Gardevoir. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. To me, personally, this is insane.
Yeah.
I feel like this is such a pivotal Unite move in a lot of team fights, especially. Like,
if
this
you can
is
land
a...
it. Yes. Yeah. It's very good.
But I'm really good at that. Not to brag or anything. But that's to me, that's crazy. Personally, I've seen Gardevoir Unite moves do huge things. I don't see it. I'm scared a little bit, maybe. I'll probably play some Gardevoir. I like to play Mons in the game that go fast, and Gardevoir is not one of those. So
right.
I'll probably play some, but stick to my, you know, preferred play style. However, I'm very interested to see how that impacts the gameplay itself, because that's a huge cooldown.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Getting to use the Unite move that much more frequently, it's not a sentence, but having that ability is fantastic. So I'm really excited for that. I actually wonder how impactful the teleport buff is going to be for jungle clear, because Cresselia has always been a really solid jungler because of how strong your level 5 power spike is. But if you're going into an Eeveelution enemy jungle or something with faster clear like Zoroark or something, you are never winning the race to birds, right? Like, you are never getting to 850 before your opponent. But teleport gets you a boosted auto every time you use it, so your clear will probably accelerate quite a bit in the initial parts of this game. So just a slight change to Ralts to get out of jungle a lot faster makes you less susceptible to invades as well. I don't know, I think teleport could be a sleeper big change as well. But of course, this is on the back of a battle pass, so that may be why this Pokemon is receiving this treatment. I mean, it is something we have to mention. I say Battle May as if it's two. Not facts. Like, yeah, Battle Pass number two. Let's talk about that. Bridget, do you have rage in your heart towards this specific item? Currently, it is the only Pokemon in the game that has received multiple Battle Passes now.
No support Battle Pass is homophobic. I'm
okay,
just gonna say
yeah, sure, thank you.
Although it is Gardy, which is Flays, and I actually love this Gardy skin.
It looks so good. I'll see if I can find it.
I think it's beautiful. I actually, the Snorlax skin with it, it's honestly so cool. It looks so good. Mm-hmm. I just wish it was a different Pokemon that didn't already have one, but they don't tell us anything, so I don't know.
No, they do not. This is the Gardevoir skin for anybody wanting to watch it. It looks absolutely gorgeous. Got kind of like a sun goddess feel. Am I right in saying
that?
It is the stage style, which can really be stretched in meaning quite a bit, I found in this game. But I think the best part about it are the effects on the moves. That Unite move looking like a big sun in the middle is so good. I think that is awesome. Also, the Snorlax looks hilarious, but it is hard to fail with a Snorlax Holoware, I think. He's just such an easy win for Unite whenever they design a skin for this Pokemon. Like, that is got a goofy looking ponytail. I love it. And the trainer outfits are absolutely atrocious. But anyway, the rest of them looking
such
pretty good.
Such a hater.
I don't like them. I don't know. Are you fans of the things?
I like I'm sure there's like a cultural reference, and I don't mean
that
I don't
we
want
are
to be offensive,
absolutely
like
airballing on. Yeah,
yeah, they look like bunny ears to me. Okay. So that is what I've been calling them. I think it's really cool. I think it's cool. Like, that's why I think I like the Gardevoir skin so much, because it almost like is playing around with like different. I feel like oftentimes the Holoware don't like change the shape of the Pokemon too much. If that like makes sense, like it always kind of like matches how they look in game. Mm-hmm. But I like the kind of like bigger changes, like,
yeah,
I don't know, I think that's really sick. So
absolutely agree.
Yeah
Psyche, fashion thoughts please on the Gardevoir battle pass.
Say I read somewhere that it was like a Chinese opera singer, like that's what it was kind of trying
to
cool.
Okay. I'm being won over.
Yeah, I think it's pretty dope. I personally don't love the ear part, the bunny, what you call the bunny ears, but I love it on Gardy and on Snorlax. I don't love it on the trainer.
Okay.
But I love every other part of it. But
Gardy, it looks so goofy and fun. If they nail the physics on it, it's gonna be great.
Yeah, it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I personally could never get more Gardy skins personally, but that's just me.
No, you're winning.
I could use an Dodrio one, but that's a different topic.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm getting the purple tier Wiggly skin, so it's fine.
Real.
It's fine. Okay, well, awesome. So, yeah, some big changes for the Battle Pass Pokemon. Of course, Snorlax not receiving any buffs, which is a crime, but that Pokemon's actually pretty great right now, I'm not going to lie. Snorlax is doing really, really well competitively, but... Okay, we talked about Gardevoir buffs. Wigglytuff, we talked a lot about before patch discussion, but Bridget, you were mostly discussing this one. Just for audio listeners, Sing has now been buffed to basically last longer and, well, hit harder, but that's not exactly a great way of describing it. Sing, whenever they are under that sleeping condition, a Pokemon will have their defense and special defense decreased. It used to be 25%, has been increased to 35%. That is on the Sing and Sing Plus. So the same amount of debuff on both. It's extremely strong. I mean, if we wanted a throwback, I was watching on my stream the other day the Shiny League Finals, a very, very big tournament before UCS ever started, and I was just watching Faz and Zugrug play Wigglytuff against each other game after game after game. So Wiggly definitely had their moments competitively. Maybe it's the Wiggly's time to rise again. Bridget, what do you think?
Yeah, it was feeling super good when we were playing around on ladder. I've like played Wiggly when it's been bad. So, and I like, it's never felt like too terrible. It just never really could compete with obviously like a healing support, and the tanks after we got like a bunch of new ones were just so dominant. It just kind of got it, like, truly got power crept, like a lot of kind of launch Pokemon have been. So, like I said, I don't know how it'll necessarily rank in priority, but I do think into certain comps and paired with certain special attackers, you can really position, you're really rewarded for your positioning and for your teammates following up on you. So if you can capitalize on those, it feels like it, she might be back.
She might be
back. Call me crazy. She might be back.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. You just can't pick this Pokemon into Umbreon, right? Like, that, the whole gimmick is just how many shields they get and give, and you, this is, oh no.
Like, Mimikyu, Playlurof Mimikyu is pretty annoying to play into it too.
Really? Don't you tank pretty much anything from that Mimikyu though?
It'll just, it'll play rough out of your Sing.
Oh, it'll iframe out of your final tick of Sing. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, it just won't get the, Playlurof lasts like so long, so there's definitely a way to time it, but it's a lot harder with its dashes and invincibility.
You gotta bait the play rough. I hear you. Okay,
yeah sacrifice your carry.
Yes, there it is. I like
want it. Yep.
Wiggly Mane's rise. Psyche, how about you? I know you like Pokemon that go fast. This isn't exactly the go fast move on Wigglytuff that would be rolled out, but Sing kind of speeds you up a little bit. How you feeling about Wigglytuff buffs? Have you been able to see or interact with this Pokemon at all since patch?
Yes, I've seen quite a few Wigglies. It's very glaring to me every time I do because of Cute Charm. And just even throughout this whole conversation, I'm bracing myself to see more Cute Charm. I'm really excited.
Oh, I hate that. Passive. It is a top tier worst passive in the game. I think it's effective. It is the most frustrating thing in the world.
Just the worst.
Oh. It's like you have Snapback on purpose. It's like the worst thing. I hate it so much. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Are you going to full heal a Cute Charm? Like, that is... feels like a waste of
I've
a cooldown.
I've done it before. But
I'll admit it.
I've done it. I'd do it again.
Fair. 10 out of 10. All right. Dazzling Gleam also got a buff, a damage buff. Bridget, you were saying this felt pretty impactful. Like, it was hitting a whole lot harder.
Yeah, I definitely noticed it more than I thought. Like, obviously, Sing is kind of the star of Wigglytuff's kit. Yeah. So I thought, which did feel good. It did feel good, but I was surprised at how good Dazzling Gleam felt.
Okay, cool.
I noticed the damage increase for sure.
Sweet. Yeah, I wrote an article earlier this week, like kind of just about the patch changes and stuff, and a few ideas that I threw here and there. And my biggest one was like, Sylveon, Guardi, Wiggly. Like, I know we're about to talk a lot about Metagross and like what it's seen after patch and everything, but fairy types absolutely winning in this recent patch, like across the board. Very, very strong. Someone at Unite likes fairy types quite a bit. Sylvie, Guardi, Wiggly. Very, very good. But okay, let's talk about it. Metagross, a Pokemon that we talked about really felt undertuned upon release, has now received the same treatment as Meowscarada. Now, one caveat there, it is now free. So you can purchase it for coins. So it is not like Unite is out here buffing the Pokemon while you still have to pay for it. At so maybe a small W in Unite's long list of L column when it comes to balance and timing and things like that. But I don't really want to break down every change for audio listeners, but Metagross has just basically found a buff in every form you could. Gyro Ball, passive stats, Zen Headbutt, the Unite move itself, a lot of great things have been changed for this Pokemon to make it a truly strong contender. Meteor Mash heals you more, Gyro Ball shields you more, Zen Headbutt hits harder, I think, but mostly all the cooldowns have been reduced, so you can actually press your buttons more often, which I think is everyone's was like first request around Metagross, is please change that. They just also dialed up everything else. And this Pokemon is extremely strong. The only question we have is everybody overreacting to how powerful this Pokemon is? And is it just fine? Is it kind of reverse Meowscarada syndrome where everyone thought it was bad, but it just took a couple of good players to figure it out? Everyone is just not good at dealing with Metagross yet. I kind of compared it to release Tyranitar. Is it around those kind of vibes? Are we just Just kite it. Just dodge its gyro ball. Things like that. How are we feeling? Can this Pokemon handle Umbreon? You know, all these questions rattling around in my brain. But I need to ask the two of you. Psyche, you talked a lot about how maybe horrified you were of this pseudo-legendary from Gen 3. So talk to me. Metagross, overhyped? An absolute monster and it needs to be stopped? How are you feeling about this new all-rounder?
So I want to approach this. I want to preface by saying that I am practicing for the Eeveelution tournament coming up. Okay. So I've been playing a lot of Leafeon.
Cool.
As a speedster, it is a little hard to kill.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. It has taken a lot of resources to try and kill this thing.
Uh-huh.
And it is horrifying because I'm trying really hard to learn how to play Leafeon. And it's really throwing a wrench in that for me. So I have to say I'm not a fan of all of these buffs. It did need some love, but good lord. Again, that's coming the lens of a speedster and not a speedster that I play super often. So like if I were playing one of my mains, I might have a different opinion, but I can't kill it personally.
Personally. Yeah. Individually, I have not found the means. Okay. Well, yeah, it's something to be discussed there. Bridget, how about you? How's this Pokemon feeling? Now, I know you and I have only played with it on our team once together, and it was me, and we did lose, and I was the source of that. But I just want to say, do not let my actions reflect that of Metagross's balanced state, okay? Let's just keep that in mind.
Zoinks did the classic, we're stomping this game, I can't be touched, I'm just gonna sit in their jungle.
I had so the
anything,
like 12
you displayed its power.
I had 12 pairs of wax wings on my back. I was flying as close to that sun as I possibly could. I was feeling the patch. Yes, that is true.
Yeah. So I think you displayed it perfectly.
Oh, thank you.
I am also guilty of not being super familiar with Metagross's kit, if I'm being honest. So I am one of those people who definitely doesn't really know what it does. So I don't really know how to deal with it or counter it. I've really only been picked up the game like within the past week after I took a month off for December. So I'm still getting used to Meowscarada a little bit too, and what exactly both its movesets do. So it definitely feels, watching you play it, it definitely seemed to be a bit ridiculous, especially when teams are grouped up. So it's like a Clefable counter.
The most popular change to Metagross has been the changes to Gyro Ball. So Gyro Ball has gotten a cooldown reduction, of course, which is fantastic for that move. But the biggest thing is the amount of shields you gain from this. Ratio used to be 50% of attack. It is now almost at 80%. 78% of your attack is now increased on a Pokemon that most people, because of these stats, are running attack with. Because as high as you can get that stat up, the more shields you gain. Now, the crazy thing about Gyro Ball is that not only do you just get the shields per damage you do, it's to how many enemies you can hit. So if you are hitting multiple enemies, I believe it was in a Discord somewhere, Evocron was saying you can get like a 1600 HP shield at level 5 if you were hitting 2 targets. That is crazy. That is so much HP on shields, which already do somewhat of damage reduction. Like, it is extremely powerful. And some would say, well, just don't get hit by Gyro Ball forehead. Well, it's tough because Magnet Rise has got a cooldown reduction from 10 seconds to 7 seconds. Of course, most cooldowns in Unite also get lowered by other varying effects like boosted auto attacks and things like that. You basically will always be flying toward the enemy team like some kind of gigantic, badly designed hoverboard and then landing in a horrific, nightmarish fashion. Metagross is fantastic. I am 2-1 on this Pokemon. and I absolutely love it. Okay, I love Metagross. I am kind of a all-rounder. I play tanks and I play top lane. Those are the two roles I like to play when it comes to competitive Unite, and Metagross has found a new niche. Do they need to nerf this Pokemon? Absolutely. But do I think that they have kind of proved their design philosophy a little bit with this patch? Yes. Do I think that's an overall win? No. But I am happy with where I think this Pokemon will be in the future after they tune it down a little bit after seeing where it lies. But yes, it is extremely strong. It is nigh on immortal if it can hit multiple targets with any of its moves. And we haven't even really seen the upper level of Meteor Mash or Zen Headbutt, by the way. I think people are picking Magnet Rise Gyro Ball because it is the most straightforward moveset. Like, it is very simple to use. Zen Headbutt and Meteor Mash, not that difficult to use either, but also absolutely wild. Crazy healing at a Meteor Mash. And then, of course, great distance closer with Zen Headbutt. So, lots of good options. The only thing going against this Pokemon is that its Unite move just doesn't work. So, I guess that's a star. But I don't know. That'll probably get changed at some point, too. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we really can't be all that bummed for it. But, yeah. People in chat, especially Spragos, calling for an emergency nerf of this Pokemon. I feel like we do this with every second release, like emergency nerf needed, and it hasn't happened since Sylveon, so I don't know, maybe. Needed, yeah. I don't think we'll get it, so we'll see. This Pokemon, though, extremely powerful. If you're looking for Freelo, like if you're frustrated, I feel like I'm reading a TV ad right now. If you're frustrated with your performance in Pokemon Unite, I introduce you to the 13,000 EOS coin Pokemon Metagross. No free shoutouts, but yes, it is crazy strong. So, especially solo queue-wise, I want to see it in tournament competitive play, but yeah, it is bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. Any more thoughts on the patch overall? Yeah, Bridget, what's up?
The way you described it just made me really fearful for my life. So thank you for telling me how afraid I should be.
Yeah, it's a pretty good narrative, really, but it's true. It is true. So thank you. Sprague saying that Zacian and Mewtwo both had emergency nerfs. Zacian, yeah, I guess. But wasn't Zacian like a bug fix rather than an emergency nerf? We can debate this later.
Technically, yeah.
Which patch was it? I'm on the website.
Pulled up.
But Psyche, how about you? Final thoughts on the patch.
We unpacked it, and I'm still overwhelmed.
Yeah, she saw Dodrio nerfs and just saw red. It's all gone.
And I hadn't thought about the red one.
So we're still processing.
Yeah. Well, thank you for picking through a pretty long document in total. But yeah, it was pretty big. Okay, so I was saying Zacian was the bug fix. Mewtwo was 6 hours after release. Okay, well, that is fair then. Yes, Mewtwo did get emergency nerfed. Well, I guess we can hope for Metagross as well. There's only one more topic that I really wanted to hit before we left today. And that is, of course, just how flippin' cute this Wigglytuff skin is, okay? It is unbearable how good this holoware is. Like, I'm crying. I'm crying at how good it is. I will pull it up on screen as I can, but of course, I am referring to the Wigglytuff. I believe it is the Mariner skin is how they are referring to it. It's not even the Wigglytuff. It's just Jiggly. Unbelievable. I love her so much. Oh my gosh, the bow perfectly placed. The tiny little tie? I can't. I love this Pokemon.
Yeah, should have been the Battle Pass, but I will. It's because they know the supports are going to spend the money. It's unfortunate.
They're going to spend the money. I just said Defender and Tanker Regiment. I'm spending it immediately. I'll take out a second loan for this Pokemon. That is so cute.
Yeah, where's the afterpay? I'm in.
Cool skin. We're still using the PJs? YNS, you're crazy for that. I am absolutely going all Mariner all the time. Psyche, how do you feel about the most adorable Jigglypuff to ever see the light of day?
Oh, yeah, this is going to be one of those skins that I buy. Never play the Pokemon, but I have the skin.
You have to have it. Yeah,
I have so much
that's important.
Going right there.
I love it. I love it so much. I'm pretty excited for it, I'm not going to lie. The Wigglytuff looks good, but I do wish I could stay as Jigglypuff the whole time. I genuinely do. It's so cute. But
He's so good.
So good. Yeah, did not receive the Battle Pass. We will be buying it. There's probably discussions to be had there about the business model, but clearly it works with all three of us. So shout out to Unite for succeeding in stealing our money. And I think that's a good as place as any to end the podcast. So thank you so much, Bridget and Psyche, for joining. I do want to give you both a chance to sell out, shout out, whatever you'd like to do as we hit the end of the episode. Bridget, where can people find you on the internet, all that kind of stuff, and any special shout outs that you want to be given tonight?
Nothing too crazy. You can find me on Twitch with my name, Bridget with a J. I am trying to stream on Thursday for the first time this year, so...
Hey.
Pray for me. And I like to tweet, same name, Bridget with a J, but an underscore at the end. We're working on it.
We're working on it. We are actively pursuing the original of this username. Do not worry.
My people are on it.
All right. Good. Good to hear. I need your people. All right, Psyche, anything that you would like to sell out, shout out, whatever you'd like, stage is yours.
Yeah, on Twitch, I am Psyche STR. I don't think I've streamed this year yet, and I don't have a big plan for it, but probably next week at the latest.
Cool.
And then I am on Twitter way too often. I'm also Psyche STR on there. I like memes.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'm trying to think if there's anything going on event-wise in the Unite community that I'm a part of. Go follow Battle Hubs. That's pretty much all I can... I can shout out there.
Yeah, that's a good shout out. I unfortunately have a few I gotta get through tonight, so please bear with us, everybody. You can obviously find me at ZoinksCast wherever you'd like to, but the youtube.com/UniteMics is the best place if you want to see all this episode and all of our previous Overknock episodes all get uploaded there, as well as tournament gameplay, player interviews, team interviews, even content creator pieces, things like that. All of it gets put over there on YouTube, so go subscribe there. That would be awesome. If you're not following the Twitch channel as well, that would be so huge. Numb Nexus in the chat as well. Thank you so much for hanging out, man. Great tournament. We had to give the tournament breakdown. But other things I want to shout out, !! in our chat. Doomsnax and I, we have released the first... I spelled it wrong. Awesome. I'm the best.
You did.
thank you, Psyche. You stay close. Launching the first piece, maybe only. Who knows? Could be exclusive. We are launching the first piece of Unite Mike specific merch. We are calling it the Hundo Burger shirt. It's absolutely incredible. The art was done by Neo Cloudbuster, a amazing Blastoise player, but also literally works for Nickelodeon as an artist. They're the coolest person I know. They work on the Ninja Turtles, and that means they're the coolest person I've ever met in my life. They did the art for it. It looks so good. A lot of Easter eggs in there. Very, very cool. It is a $30 t-shirt, which we understand is a pretty big price tag, but we are paying for all shipping, and we just wanted to make sure that as much of the proceeds as we can are going towards the tournament, which we are hosting January 27th, and the registration is up for that right now. So that is the weekend before the UCS qualifier tournament. That Saturday, we're calling it the run-up. It's going to be a lot of fun. We are going to, if we know UCS rules by then, by please hope we do, we will be playing with all UCS rules. So it'll basically be just a huge practice tournament with $150 starting prize pool, which will be growing with more t-shirts sold. So that's the best way to support competitive play, support Unite Mics. And if you're showing up at NAIC or any of these in-person events and you want to showcase to all these other Pokemon nerds how much of a Unite fan you are, I literally can't think of a better way other than getting a Hundo Burger shirt. So go check that out. We're also going to be casting Underdunk here on this channel on Thursday. Doopsnax, me, and Kellosaurus is going to be our guest caster. So we're bringing in Kello. It's been too long since Kello and I got to cast together, so I'm very excited. So go check that on Thursday. More competitive Unite. Honestly, just a landslide of incredible tournaments all month long. Thank you so much for everybody for watching this episode, and I hope to see you next time. Until then, please enjoy Metagross while it's strong. See you later.